This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Bless you, brothers and sisters. This morning, our text is found in the book of Numbers, the 27th chapter, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation, the New Living Translation. Numbers 27, verses 1 through 11, and it reads like this. One day a petition was presented by the daughters of Zelophehad, Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Their father Zelophehad was a descendant of Hefer, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, son of Joseph. These women stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the tribal leaders, and the entire community at the entrance of the tabernacle. Our father died in the wilderness, they said. He was not among Korah's followers who rebelled against the Lord. He died because of his own sin, but he had no sons. Why should the name of our father disappear from his clan just because he had no sons? Give us property along with the rest of our relatives. So Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord replied to Moses, "The claim of the daughters of Zelophehad is legitimate. You must give them a grant of land along with their father's relatives. Assign them the property that would have been given to their father, and give the following instructions to the people of Israel. If a man dies and has no son, then give his inheritance to his daughters. And if he has no daughters either, transfer his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. But if his father has no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan. This is a legal requirement for the people of Israel, just as the Lord commanded Moses." Amen. Thus is the reading of the Lord's word. And for a topic, I want to use difference that makes a difference. Difference that makes a difference. How many of you know that we're all different? Yeah, we're all different. I was raised, I'm number 11 of 12 children. Seven of us were girls, raised by the same mother and father, hearing the same messages to each other, but each one of us are different. And I've come to understand that different is not bad. Different is just different. Amen. And your difference can make a difference in this world. Amen. And we are different on purpose for purpose. Can I say that again? We are different on purpose for purpose. Aren't you glad that God didn't make everybody look alike, sound alike, do all the same things? What situation would this world be in if we were all alike? So we need to just praise God for difference right now. Amen. Praise him for just being different. Born a slave in 1797, she was named Isabella Bomfrey. She was owned by a Dutch-American named Colonel Johannes Hardenberg. For the first 9 years of her life, the only language she knew was Dutch. Her master died, and then she was sold because of his death. Now, she was sold multiple times in her life. She was physically, emotionally, and sexually abused. She was marginalized for her gender and her color. And in 1827, after her master, John Dumont, failed to free her according to the New York anti-slavery law of 1827, Isabella said, "I did not run away. I walked away by daylight. She just left. And in 1843, she changed her name from Isabella Bomfree to Sojourner Truth. Amen. Sojourner Truth, amen. After she was converted, she became an itinerant preacher. And she was also deeply involved in the anti-slavery movement and the suffrage movement. And she was all about women's rights. Amen. And in May of 1851, Sojourner Truth attended the Ohio Women's Conference in Akron, Ohio. Truth was the only black woman in attendance at the conference, and many of the other women did not want her to speak. But knowing that she had something to say, she asked a conference leader, "May I say a few words?" And she was given the go-ahead. And she delivered one of the most powerful speeches of that convention. And we know it as, "Ain't I a woman?" And she said, "Well, children, where there is so much racket, there must be something out of kilter. I think that twixt the Negroes of the South and the women of the North, all talking about the rights, the white man will be in a pretty fix soon. And what's all the talk about? That man over there says that women need to be helped into carriages and lifted over ditches and to have the best places everywhere. Nobody ever helped me into a carriage or over mud puddles or gave me any best place. And ain't I a woman? Look at me. Look at my arms. I have plowed and planted and gathered into barns, and no man could head me. But ain't I a woman? I have borne 13 children and seen most of all sold off to slavery. And when I cried out with my mother's grief, none but Jesus heard me. Ain't I a woman?" Then they talk about this thing in their head. What's that thing called? Oh, intelligent. That's it. What's that got to do with women's right or Negroes' right? If my cup won't hold but a pint and yours holds a quart, wouldn't you be mean not to let me have little half measure full? Then that man over there in the back says, "Women can't have as much right as men because Christ wasn't a woman." Well, where did your Christ come from? Yeah, where did your Christ come from? From God and a woman. Man had nothing to do with him. Now, if the first woman God ever made was strong enough to turn the world upside down all alone, these women together ought to be able to turn it back and get it right side up again. And now they asking to do it, and the men better let them. Oblige you for hearing me, and now old Sojourner ain't got nothing else to say. I love her speech. As I said, it was one of the most powerful in that convention. So we're lifting up women this month. Internationally, women are being lifted up. History, women's history. And certainly, she is a name that is in the history of all women, not just black women, but all women. And so when we look at her and we look at her story, it was full of tragedy and triumph, but she had faith in God. She had a sense of mission. She had grit and determination that opened doors for her that were unheard for a black woman in her time. And there are remnants of her story that can be found in the lives of these sisters in this text. No, these women in this story were not slaved, but they were women. And they were women in a society that marginalized women. They were seen as second-class citizens. They went mostly unseen and unheard. They were marginalized. There were five sisters, and their name was Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah, and they were daughters of Zelophehad. Now, their dilemma was their culture, because their father had died. And in that culture, all of the inheritance goes to son. But what happens when there is no son? Well, this was their dilemma, because there were no wills in those days for the father to pass on anything. Things happened according to the law, and according to Jewish law, they had no rights. And that was a dilemma. And the property was about to be distributed according to the number of people in that clan. Now, the text tells us that they are a part of the tribe of Manasseh, and they are of the clan of Hepher. They are direct descendants of Joseph. Joseph was their fourth great-grandfather. He was Joseph. You remember Joseph, don't you? He's the one that his father loved him so much that he gave him a coat of many colors. Joseph was the one that his brothers were so jealous of him, they took him and threw him in a pit. Yeah, but then some merchants found him and they traded him as a slave to Potiphar. He went into Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife wanted him, but he didn't want her. So she lied on him and he was sent to prison. Now, he was in prison for many years, but God is so gracious. So, you know, Joseph's story says that our lives go through a lot of ups and downs. But when God has a plan for your life, God is going to fulfill that plan, no matter how long it takes and no matter what you have to go through. So he ended up in prison, but he had been gifted by God to interpret dreams. I'm just talking about Joseph and the background from which these sisters came from, that he was a man who God had gifted to interpret dreams. Pharaoh had a dream that none of his prophets or soothsayers could interpret. But one of the bakers, one of the men in his council, remembered there's a man in prison. His name is Joseph. I had a dream and he interpreted my dream. Why don't you send for Joseph and see if he can interpret your dream? Joseph knew he couldn't get an interpretation except from the Lord. Well, just as the Lord would have it, he was able to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. He went from the pit to the palace, to prison to the palace, from the pit to prison to the palace, and he ended up being the right-hand man of Pharaoh. So let me tell you what that did for him. It gave him a whole lot of power. And when his family was in famine, because he was in Egypt and had told them how to save grains and how to make sure that when the famine came, that they would be fully supplied, when his family sent to him and said, "We need some grain," he was able to save the nation of Hebrews. God, when he gives us power, he doesn't mean for us to hold it to ourselves, but he means for us to use it on behalf of others. So the 70 people, I'm still talking about Joseph, were in the household of his father, Jacob. You know, Jacob was the father of the 12 patriarchs of the Hebrew nation. Well, Jacob and his clan, Joseph brought them all to Egypt. There were 70 of them all together. So the Hebrew nation started with 70, and they multiplied so much that they became slaves in Egypt. Well, our text today is post-Egypt. It is after they have been freed from Egypt and freed from Pharaoh that now they are in the wilderness. And how many of you know that in the wilderness, things don't happen the way you want them to happen? Some of us have wilderness experiences and we forget about God. But don't you know that God is everywhere at all times? And whether you are in the wilderness or at the top of the mountain, God is with you if you know him. Some of us can witness to that. Amen. Post-wilderness, Zelophehad is dead because of his own sin. And it was important for them to say in that text that our father is dead because of his own sin, not because he followed Korah. This is an important point for us, brothers and sisters, because Korah rebelled against Moses, and he had 250 people with him that rebelled with him. Do you know that sometimes there will be leaders that will rebel against the leader of God? But God don't like ugly, and he ain't too fond of pretty either. But I'm telling you something about God. He will not allow us to go on in our rebellious way, but for so long. And then God has a way of whoop, pulling that rug out from under us, because God's will is going to be done. So Korah left this rebellion against the man of God. And of course, you know, God did what God does. He destroyed the enemy. The enemy of God. He destroyed the enemy of God. When we rebel against God, I don't care who we are, what position we have, we are the enemy of God. I knew nobody was going to say amen to that. But in Jewish culture, brothers and sisters, this text doesn't tell as much about the sisters as individuals. But in Jewish culture, naming a child was and still is considered very sacred, because names speak of the character and the characteristics of who that child may be. You remember Moses? His name, Moses, means pulled or drawn out, because Moses was drawn out of the water, out of the Nile River, by Pharaoh's daughter. So names meant something. The other thing about that, names were not given to children before birth, because they don't know who they're going to be. But names were given to children after they were born. So I want to think about a little bit about who these five women might be. And Mala's name means weak or sickly. So maybe she was named that because she was a sickly child. Noah's name means rest or response. Maybe she was just a chill child. You know, the kind, a good baby. You know, we say, oh, that's just a good baby. That baby don't cry, don't make any, no, I got a good baby. Then there's those babies that give you all kind of what for? Well, Noah must have been one of those good babies. And then Hogla, her name means dancing. She must have been a joyful child, just moving through and just a very joyful, and brought joy into the situation. And then there was Milcah. Her name means queen. I don't know what happened to make her get called queen, but there was something in her character that her parents saw, and she was named queen. And then there's Tirzah. Tirzah's names means delight or pleasing. So I'm saying this to say that each one of these sisters had a responsibility to their nation. And what I love about God is that, I don't know if you know the meaning of your name. It's important to know that. My name is Lisa. And my name is a form of the name Elizabeth. The name of Elizabeth means an oath of God. I thank God for whoever named me Lisa, because they set me on a course of being responsible and being committed to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Knowing your name might tell you something about your character. But what was their fate going to be? Because they had no man to cover them. Hallelujah. And that's what it was like in that society. You needed a man to cover you. What will we do? The land is about to be given away, and we have no brothers. So they had a family powwow. They talked about all of the facts and things that were going on. And then they made a decision, and they executed a plan. I'm almost done. The first thing they did was they stood up. And that's what we got to do, brothers and sisters. You got to stand up for what you believe. Amen? Especially if what you believe has good merit. Well, this it says right there, they stood up. They stood up. And it says in verse 2, these women stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the tribal leaders, and the entire community at the entrance of the tabernacle. And for the reason they put that they were entrance at the entrance of the tabernacle, because it's there that decisions were made, at the entrance of the tabernacle. Amen. It says they stood up, and then it says they spoke up. Yeah. Yeah, they stood up and they spoke up. Sometimes we're silent when we need to speak up. And God will put a word in you, put an impression in you, and tell you to speak up. But sometimes we quench the Spirit of God in us. But they spoke up. And I believe, brothers and sisters, just using my Holy Ghost imagination, they couldn't all speak at the same time, so they chose someone out of the group. And I believe that they chose the queen, the leader. She was the spokesperson for the group. And she said, "Our father died in the wilderness. they said, and he was not among Korah's followers who rebelled against the Lord. He died of his own sin, but he had no sons. Now, why should the name of our father disappear from his clan just because he had no sons? Give us property along with the rest of our relatives. Give us property along with the rest of our relatives. And you know what they did next? My third point. So they stood up, they spoke up, and then they shut up. Because when you say what God has you to say, it's time to shut up. And that's what I'm going to do when it's time for me to sit down. I'm going to shut up. Amen. When I say what God told me to say. You know something? I learned something. I worked in sales for a little while. Sales is a hard thing. But a part of the training, they talked about all the preparation. You need to do your research. You need to do your follow-up. You need to do all the things that will make your sales strong. But you come to the end of all of that, and it's called closing the deal. Closing the deal. And you're taught in closing the deal, you say again what you've already said, and then you shut up and you wait for an answer. And that's what these sisters did. They said, give us property. And they shut up and they waited for an answer. And so, just like they shut up to wait for the answer, look what it says in verse 5. So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord replied to Moses. So my fourth point, they stood up, they spoke up, they shut up, and God showed up. Yeah, God showed up. And I love it that Moses took their case to the Lord. That Moses didn't have a knee-jerk response to their request. He didn't say, well, we always did it this way. The men always got the property. I don't know why you even bothered to come in. No, he didn't do a knee-jerk, which is something that we usually do. We've always done it this way, and it's always been this way, and we're not going to do anything different. Knee-jerk response. And we don't bother to go to the Lord and see what he has to say. Maybe the time that the request is made, that is the time that the Lord wants to change things. And this is what the Lord says to Moses. He said, the claim of the daughters of Zelophehad is legitimate. You must give them a grant of land along with their father's relatives. Assign them the property that would have been given to their father. And not just that, I love this. And give the following instructions to the people of Israel. So what they did was so monumental, it wasn't just for themselves. But he said, tell this to the people of Israel. If a man dies and has no sons, then give his inheritance to his daughters. And if he has no daughters either, transfer his inheritance to his brothers. And if he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his fathers. But if his father has no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in the clan. This is a legal requirement for the people of Israel, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Can I get an amen? God showed up in such a way that he was not only going to bless those sisters, which he did, but he blessed the nation of Israel. The whole nation was blessed. These women were different because they were female. They didn't have the rights, but they made a difference because they stood up, they spoke up, they shut up, and they watched God show up. They changed the law of the land. Come on, brothers and sisters. They changed the law of the land. Hallelujah. And it was not just for the future of Israel. They changed laws. So these sisters speak to us during this national and international Women's Month of History. It talks to us about women's right and women's strength and women's ability when they know the right thing to do to speak up. But I love this because what they did was not just for women. It was for men too. Hallelujah. See, I love that God is not discriminate. Yeah, he'll bless anybody who wants to be blessed. Hallelujah. And when he opens up the windows of heaven, whoever's on those windows get blessed. Hallelujah. These women became a role model for me. Say what you gotta say. Stand up, but then shut up. Don't keep on talking. If you trust God, have faith in him, he will show up. So when the big picture of all of this is this, when we stand up and are seen, when we speak up for the right and are heard, when we shut up when you said what needs to be said, God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Brothers and sisters, that what God, he doesn't do for us what we can do for ourselves. But what we can't do, God specializes in things that seem impossible. And he will do what no other power, hallelujah, can do. Because he has all power in his hands. So what do you need to stand up for? That's the question. We live in a world of confusion and chaos. I grew up, I'm a baby boomer, and I'm proud to say that. But I grew up in a world where it seemed, in my neighborhood, like things were going well. I remember when the government agreed with the schools, and the schools agreed with the community, and the community agreed with God, and we had prayers in our school. That's the era that I grew up in. But we saw the shift when things started to change. But God asked us in the midst of this chaos, and a lot of us are praying, God, do this. But God is saying, you're the body of Christ. You do it. I'll give you the power if you do it. Amen. We want God to do for us what he's called us to do for the nation. Do you know that the church of God, that God's people are his power in this earth, that God's people are his light in this earth, that God's people can change all the chaos and confusion in this world because the presence of God, when we bring it into this world, things change. As followers of Christ, we're called to stand up against those things that are displeasing to God. And if you want to know what displeases God, read your Bible. Read your Bible. And then really read about Jesus. Because the scripture says in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. Hallelujah. Whatever is pleasing to God, stand against it. Whatever is antithetical to his word, stand against it. Whatever does not reflect the love of God revealed through us in Christ, stand against it. And remember this one thing, brothers and sisters. Whatever is going on in our world, as crazy as it looks like, this gives me such great consolation. God is in control. Hallelujah. The scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and everything that dwells in it belongs to God. God is in control. He'll let us do our thing for a while. But when Jesus, when Holy Ghost, when the power of God falls on his children, on the body of Christ, when we wake up to the word of God and the power of God in us, he says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above. It's like exceeding, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. Holy Ghost power. The Lord still answers our prayers. That's why when Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Jesus started by saying, our Father who art in heaven. We should always start our prayer with worship because that's what Jesus told us to do. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is it, brothers. Thy kingdom come. He told us to pray that. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You think heaven is in confusion? That's why I know it's not God's will for his earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But in the words of that song, that old hymn that we loved, be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. And he proved that to us at Calvary. Because when we didn't have any hope, Jesus died for our sin. He died, and not only did he die, he stayed in the grave for 3 days. As the preacher says, early. Early. I said, early. That Sunday morning, he got up and he declared that I had the keys of hell, death, and destruction in my hands. He said, all power, not little power, not some power, but all power is in my hand. That means that he has power over all the power of the enemy. Some of us think that Satan is more, what, powerful than God. You better think again and again and again, because he didn't create anything. God created all of it. And God said, Jesus said on that cross, here it is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And right now, brothers and sisters, God is asking us as believers, first of all, to stand up, to speak up, know when to shut up, and then watch me show up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he's saying to each and every one of you, hallelujah, today, if there's anybody in this house, let me say a word of prayer. That's what I feel the Holy Spirit saying. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, because it is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our pathway. And God, we thank you that once we hear your word, we really are responsible to do your word, whether we choose to do it or not. So Father God, I thank you for your word that's gone forth. And I pray, God, that your spirit will dwell in the hearts and the minds of your people, and they will hear your word speaking to them again and again. No, not speaking to them, God, speaking to us again and again, that we may do your will. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, Jesus the Christ, amen. All right, brothers and sisters. So if you're here today, let me tell you that God loves you. He loves you with a love that never fails. And I love it that there's nothing you can do to make God stop loving you. His love goes beyond anything that you can do. And before you did it, he saw it. But you're already forgiven as you ask for his forgiveness. Amen. So you, if you are here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you that opportunity just to know him. Hallelujah. We want you to give you that opportunity to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, not just those in this building. For any of you who are online who want to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, who want to come to know him, we ask you to pray this prayer with us. Won't you repeat after me? Father God, I've sinned and have done, and I have not been all I should be. I'm sorry for my sin. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. God, I'm willing to trust you all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. And I will tell others you saved me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me right now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, according to the scripture, you're saved. If there's anyone in the house that would like to come and receive salvation and come, become a member of First African Baptist Church, the deacons are in the aisles and standing in front to receive you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, God, we thank you again for this day that you've made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. Now, O God, we give words of blessings, words of benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and his grace be with you. The Lord give you peace. The Lord give you peace. The Lord give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you. Go forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.